Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we live in strange times, especially in our world today. We know so much. We know lots of stuff. But we're left wondering what to do with what we know. More and more data keeps amassing each day that it's its own kind of pollution problem. If you ask me, if you think about hoarding shows on TV, right? Well, we're hoarding an awful lot of information. And how do we do it? Well, not up here anymore. We have to dump it on massive amounts of computers, right? We just throw it on there, and it seems somewhat reasonable. I mean, we've got to have a place to put all this data, right? And so the internet has become that kind of go-to place for answers, right? And so you have to ask the question. Has the internet become God to us? Robots, or mechanized things, we talk about, at least in the rural country, about automized GPS-driven, you know, combines and stuff like that. But robots make life easier, more efficient, right? But isn't work, you know this, something God designed for humanity to be doing? I mean, God wanted man to work. Likewise, you know, artificial intelligence is kind of cool stuff, you know. Except what happens, this is kind of like the 80s kind of stuff, Terminator, right? What happens when this stuff decides to leave us in the dust? Because we don't know as much as AI does. As we settle into the Epiphany season for the next few weeks until the middle of February, it's all about the theme of revealing. This goes beyond answers to the math problems or medical research or indeed all the data that comes in each day that makes for good news in magazines. Epiphany seeks to reveal and make known that person in work of Jesus Christ. For what purpose? That he is God. Yeah, I know that, but what? God for us. And so since we're only in a position in life many times to discover truth, and that's kind of fun, right? But the truth is that God is truth. He's got it all. He has all the answers. We get little bits of scratches and glimpses in life as we learn and grow, but the truth is he has to be charitable to us if we really want to know the truth. The curse caused by that tree of knowledge of good and evil, frankly, no matter how we want to kind of phrase it or frame it, it's just too much, this knowledge, let alone being cursed with sin. And so no wonder St. John wrote his gospel with this kind of goal, this theme, the whole structure of the book around these words. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The Lord knows us so perfectly that to know, confess, and admire his word and ways is what we get to do all the days of our life. And it truly has no end for what that means. So, what do we know? We know that Philip called Nathanael, which means God uses relationships, right? He uses people. This wasn't a stranger. Philip and Nathanael knew each other pretty well. Those original disciples were followers of John the Baptizer. And they lived in close-knit communities, kind of like us around here, about 7 to 10 miles apart, right? That was the world of those earliest church, and they knew each other. But strangely enough, in the vicinity of Cana and Bethsaida and Nazareth, they didn't know Jesus. He was right there all those years, but they didn't really know him. But Jesus called Philip, right? Pretty simply, follow me. And so there was no way for him to keep quiet. His witness to Nathanael was not a sales pitch. He wasn't talking to a stranger. He was talking probably to a friend, a colleague, we don't know. But We know this when Philip talked to Nathanael. He stood upon the scriptures because he said, this Jesus is what and whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote about. To know Jesus as the promised Savior was bigger than an experience. But the Holy Spirit's relationship, how God calls us in the work of that Spirit of God, by what means? Through God's Word. It wasn't the person. Philip finally said, well, you know me, but God's Word, this Old Testament stuff, it knows Jesus. And so Nathanael confessed a surprising question that kind of spiced things up, right? Did you catch the question today? The question wasn't like Thomas after Jesus rose from the dead. Remember Thomas' statement? He said, I'll never believe unless I see, right? You got to show me. That was his statement. That was an unbelief kind of thing. No, instead you get a sense from Nathanael, kind of amusing words, an amusing question. He kind of goes, can anything good come out of that place? I mean, get real. It's Nazareth. Everybody knows that place. This isn't the big city Jerusalem. This isn't Bethlehem where big kings are supposed to be born. No, this is Nazareth. I mean, you know, it's kind of shady stuff over there. We treat life like a program. That's how we think today with computers. Everything's just all lined up and just all this way. And so we just figure, we think of life programmatically. It means this. It means we figure important people come from important places. We figure famous people or powerful people got lots of money. And we also figure smart people know best. Yet all the wisdom and glory, God kind of turns upside down, right? All that kind of programmatic thinking we have in our ways of thinking about life, God turns upside down. He redirects it all to Jesus of Nazareth, for he is God, full of grace and truth. And this is the key for lots of life. God's not ashamed of the lowly and despised, is he? He wasn't ashamed to call the shepherds to Bethlehem to be the first worshipers of Jesus, the baby. And he wasn't ashamed to be that guy in Nazareth that no one thought was any good place to be. Nathanael goes, though, doesn't he? He goes with Philip. And you have to admire this. It's not by their own reason or strength they came to Jesus Christ their Lord, was it? Kind of like it says in the catechism. Rather than attempting to answer the question of Nathanael, Philip just provides some wonderful words. Come and see. That's all he says. We don't know the conversation. They went along the way. It doesn't really matter. What matters is that the invitation was there. The same Jesus invited had spoken to Andrew and Simon, and he said the same words to them. They were following Jesus the day before, and they said, where are you going? And Jesus said to them, come and see. You just got to kind of come and be part of it to grasp it all. And so Nathanael went with Philip. And what we find then is, against the confusion we have today with so much stuff to know, come and see is to let only Christ be at the front and center of his church. It won't be an event then. An event people come to and then they what? They leave. But to come and see Jesus, have him front and center of the church, is to be with him, to follow him, Lord willing, all the days of our life. And so apart from the word and sacrament, reason and strength will lead any away from Jesus. And it will, because our sinful eyes want to see things that God doesn't see so splendid. And so what did we learn then? What does Jesus know is the big question for today. God sees true Israelites as those who know Christ. Jesus told Nathanael, behold, an Israelite indeed whom there is no deceit. And so how often, right, in the Old Testament did Israel fall into deception? Did they fall again and again into darkened hearts because they first saw and then they wanted to believe rather than to believe and then see? Nathanael was a true Israelite. unlike others in Israel at that time. Jesus wasn't talking about the character of a guy. He wasn't saying, oh, you're better than other people. He was telling him, you've been baptized by John. You're not living in deception, because you remember the baptism of John was for the forgiveness of what? Sins. And so you're a true Israelite. I could say that today. Ah, true believers in Jesus, true Christians who live in their baptism, because you're not in deception. You know, in water and the word of God, God put you to death, and you live with that promise to come and confess sin and receive forgiveness from this Jesus again and again. Praise the Lord for his wonderful work by his Spirit in our lives. That's the justifying work of Jesus that we know we need to have. We just got to have it. If we don't have it, we die in despair. If we don't hear that forgiveness, we walk off with pride, thinking we're not such a bad sinner. Oh, matter of fact, God sees me to be pretty good. And more than that, we don't live in our baptism. We live in deception, and we forget the good word of God is for our life. And then we do walk off into things like Paul talked about today, about flee sexual immorality. Notice he didn't talk about homosexuality. He just said what? Sexual immorality. All this stuff, whether in married life like pornography and lust, or outside of married life and all the kind of stuff you want to mess around with and deal with. It's all bad when we forget about God's word that has called us out of darkness through baptism into a better life to follow Jesus. And so God sees our life fully, letting us confess Jesus. That's the good news. Long before I was a pastor, Jesus saw me. Long before I even knew Jesus, Jesus loved me. And so for you. In response to the question, Jesus supplied an answer more than Nathanael considered possible. He said, how do you know me? And he goes, nobody can say this, right? But God. He says, before Philip called you, I saw you. And he gave some evidence, that fig tree kind of stuff, right? Whatever he was doing, we don't know what he was doing, but under the fig tree could mean a positive thing or a negative thing. It could be positive because maybe he was praying, studying the scriptures. Or it could be a bad thing. Maybe he was crying out to God because he was suffering with some real scary stuff in his life. We don't know. But Jesus made it pretty clear, though, right? Nothing was out of his sight. I saw you, Philip and Nathanael. I saw you. Plenty like to say today, you don't know me. And that's a good way that we can distance people from ourselves. You don't know me. Get away from me. How can you judge me? That's what we want to do. We distance people. We push them away. But the good thing is Jesus is God, who knows everybody, right? Perfectly. And under his tree of suffering, no one is out of his sight. The harder you push, the closer God puts himself all the more clearly as that crucified Savior on the cross. To confess Jesus as God and King is now to confess him to be the crucified one, who bought you at a price and joined his faithfulness to your life. So indeed, the thoughts today of, oh, what's this God stuff, or all these things where we wonder where God is when we hurt, you're missing the reality. Jesus says, I see you. I've seen your whole life. You don't know your life, how you're going to die, what's going to happen, what you're going to be, how it's going to go. But I saw you. I saw your whole life. And indeed, in baptism, God says, I watch over you. And indeed, I am there as the one who suffered and died, so that nothing, absolutely nothing, is outside of my eyes that care so much for you. And so then, God sees greater things to come, right? That's what Jesus told him. You believe me because I just told you something simple, right? Wait till you see what you're really going to see. It's going to blow you off the ground, knock your socks off kind of stuff, right? It's really for us to admire Jesus. Revealing Nathanael's life was a drop in the bucket. They would see far greater things later. And like God opening heaven to Jacob, Jesus opened heaven, didn't he? He opened heaven. At baptism, heaven opened to Jesus. And we know the angels of God surrounded the Son of Man, given for sinners. But it didn't always seem that way, right? Jesus was walking around, eating, talking with sinners, being with people, but the angels were over him continually. Heaven remains open because of Christ, and he's better than a ladder. But the comfort and strength for his church and every Christian. This is the hard part today, because our eyes are darkened with despair and doubt and disbelief, and yet the angels of God praise and indeed ascended upon his cross with great wonder. And he's upon your life too, this Jesus. And so when we're around Jesus, heaven's open. When we're around Jesus, there truly is nothing that is shut out from our life, because indeed God has opened the greatest thing for our lives in Christ. So if knowledge and truth seem to be out of control today, you heard in our intro those words, "Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go after astray after a lie." And so with our God-sized problems of knowledge, Epiphany reveals for us to know Jesus and his word. Because all the other kind of stuff that we talk about, and we talk about lots of stuff we know today, it's all going down the tubes. You can't control it, and you don't understand it. Even the smartest people really, truly are constantly tossing this stuff around, not knowing how to deal with the next thing that comes, what we know. And so God seeks to govern us in his peace all our days. Church is a Greek word. It's a word that means ekklesia, means called out. And so Christ calls us out from darkness to be in his light. Organizations have sales pitches, while Christ offers and delivers in his church the saving truth for all to believe. And you know, in this world, all the stuff we can know is going to be some good things, and it's going to be some pretty sad and scary things. But know this, today, once again, all of heaven is open before Jesus around word and sacrament. And we sing with the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven to know a better thing, that God indeed truthfully has shined his light upon us. The Lord knows us so perfectly that to know and confess and admire his word and ways, truly, it truly is for you all your days. And to admire Jesus, to be in his word, to go about that in our life, truly has no end. So to know him, it's to know the fullness of what finally we need to know from God, Christ and him crucified. Amen. The peace of Christ that passes all understanding be with your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.